I want to say good morning to those of you who are in the comments and hello to anyone watching on Grace Online today. If you're new, my name is Brian. I'm one of the site pastors here, and I oversee this location of Grace. If you have your Bible or a Bible app, go ahead and turn it to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be this morning. Now, while you're turning there, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been on a great team? It could have been when you were growing up playing sports, or it could be your team at work, or a volunteer team you worked with for a nonprofit or for church. Think of that team, and then I want you to think, what made it so great? What was the quality or the qualities that made it work so well, that helped motivate you to accomplish things you couldn't possibly accomplish by yourself? Many of you know I'm a big Liverpool Football Club supporter. That's soccer for the unrefined among us. They're one of the most historic and famous teams in all of Europe. This year, Liverpool has gotten off to its strongest start in over a decade, which is even more amazing because they've had to play some very hard teams, one of some of the best teams in the league in all of Europe already. And one of the things I've noticed this year is just how much better they're playing as a team. Part of this has to do with the tactics of their manager, a wonderful German man named Jürgen Klopp. That's a real name, no joke. Klopp's main tactic has been coined the Gegenpress, which even if you hate soccer, you have to admit, it's a pretty amazing name, Gegenpress. It's completely reliant on every player working really hard to get the ball back whenever Liverpool loses possession. See, they don't give the other team a moment on the ball without one or two players converging on the other team and trying to win the ball back and start a quick counterattack. And so they press, forcing the other team to hurry up their passing until they make a mistake, and then bam, Liverpool gets the ball back and they whip down to the other end to hopefully score a goal. And when it all clicks together, it's glorious. But here's the other thing. It only works if everyone does their part. See, there's no use to pressing and attacking and covering nine of the other team's outfield players if the 10th is open and can receive a pass. Everyone has to do their part. And so Klopp drills into his players this team mentality, this work ethic. Everyone plays for each other. Everyone plays for the team. And if you don't, you get benched. Now, the other thing about Jürgen Klopp is that he is an amazing encourager. I mean, he's so full of positive energy and encouragement. It's impossible not to fall in love with his excitement as he's celebrating goals and running around hugging players. He's like a golden retriever when its owner returns home. And after the game, you'll see him bear-hugging players. You'll see him bear-hugging his coaching staff. Man, it's just infectious. Now, contrast that to Manchester United's new manager, Jose Mourinho. He's a tactically brilliant man, but also dour and prone to throwing his players under the bus when things don't go well for his team. I mean, it's hard to imagine a guy like this ever hugging anyone. Now, what's begun to happen is that while other teams have spent as much as $150 million on just one player, trying to bring in superstars who can carry the team on their back, Liverpool has no star. Everyone contributes. Many different players score goals. They play as a team. No one is more important than anyone else. And they're having too much fun to care. You can see it in the way they interact with each other this year. Now, I don't think this year's Liverpool is the most talented team they've ever had by a long shot, but they are absolutely one of the most fun to watch. And they are undoubtedly a great team. And that's my point as we begin this morning, that they're a team playing like they belong to each other. And so maybe you know a team like that. Maybe you've been on a team like that before. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of a body to talk about something similar. He calls followers of Christ members of a body to show how in the church, everyone has a part to play too. Hopefully you've had a chance to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read chapter 4 from verse 1 through 16 today, a good chunk of scripture. But I want to start by reading the last passage of the last verse. Paul ends with this phrase. He's talking about Christ. Christ makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is describing the body of Christ, his church, growing and building itself up in love. Although growing in numbers is a part of a healthy church, this passage is describing Christians growing stronger in their faith individually and as a group. This is what we want, isn't it? Seeing the body of Christ growing stronger and stronger in our faith, in our love for God, and in our love for others, this is the church at its best. And that's what we're talking about today, the church being at its best. And so how do we get there? Let's read the passage, the rest of the passage, and listen for what makes the body of Christ grow strong, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity is a defining characteristic of the body of Christ. When the church is at its best, we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us to be humble and gentle and patient, loving with one another. We're eager to maintain the unity we already have in our shared faith in Christ. All Christians are called to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and therefore contribute to the unity of the body. Paul also describes another defining characteristic of the body of Christ and a different way to get there. He says in verse 7, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So in addition to unity, the other defining characteristic of the body of Christ is maturity. This passage is all about the body of Christ growing in faith, in love, in spiritual maturity. Paul talks about building up the body. He uses phrases like attaining mature manhood, the stature of the fullness of Christ, and growing up. This is a picture of the church at its best, growing, maturing, functioning as it is intended, becoming more like Christ individually and corporately. He also talks about each of us having gifts, that there are works of ministry that we need to be equipped for. That's right. As your pastor, my job isn't to do all the ministry of the church, but rather to equip you to live out the joy that comes from serving in ministry. Did you realize that you have a specific ministry? You have a place in the body of Christ. In fact, our big idea today is that when the church is at its best, is when each person fulfills their ministry. Here's the thing. I want us, the church, to be at our very best. Because when we're at our best, we're fulfilled so much more than when we're putting our time and energy into short-term thrills and quick fixes. When we're at our best, God is glorified and real life change happens and people's eternal destinies get changed. And that's worth chasing after, amen? And so let's look again at this passage. And I want to spend the rest of our time today drawing out of this text three keys that contribute to the growth of the body. First, the church is at its best when each person stays connected to the head. Verse 15 says, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This passage is saying Jesus is the head of the church, not the pastor, not the worship leader, not your life group leader, not the Pope. God the Father gave Jesus the unique role of authority as head of his body. This means he has the authority to tell the body what to do. His Spirit empowers the body with everything it needs to function and thrive. He is the one that assigns each part its unique role and gives different spiritual gifts to each part so that they can fulfill their role. Participating and being a part of the body helps connect you to the head. Now listen to what I just said. If you're not participating as a part of the body, you will become disconnected from Jesus, the head of the body. If you're not using your spiritual gifts, your spiritual life will languish. I see this play out time and time again in people as they wonder why they're not connecting to God in a meaningful way, and yet they're not participating as a member of the body. I mean, what did you expect would happen, guys? If you cut off a finger or a toe, does it stay healthy if it's disconnected from your body? If you surgically remove a kidney, is it going to thrive outside of the body? No, it's going to wither. It's going to rot. Most of us have experienced muscle atrophy at some point. You know muscle atrophy? You know, have you ever tried to play a sport after a long time away? Ever tried to start working out again after a long time? it hurts the next day because your muscles have weakened from non-use. You know, the brain, it works in the same way. It's a muscle of sorts. And if you've ever tried to learn a foreign language, you know the best thing you can do is to grow quickly by immersing yourself in that language. The more touch points you can have with that language in your day, the better. And I've been studying a foreign language. I've been studying Japanese for 7 or 8 years now, and I'm not where I want to be because there are many times where I stop participating and stop engaging my brain in that language. But see, last week, my family got the opportunity to host a Japanese friend of mine from Ono Church in Tokyo at our house for the week. And suddenly I was participating and engaging my mind with Japanese all day. I was learning at a faster rate than before. I was remembering things I had forgotten and retaining them for longer. Right now, just after or before that time, or just after before I go on a missions trip to Japan, whenever that happens, I always feel more connected. I feel more able to process and learn and acquire language proficiency than at any other time. But if I step away from constantly giving my mind the opportunity to process my second language, I forget more. I get disconnected. In John's gospel, Jesus takes the muscle atrophy analogy one step further. He compares our spiritual lives to a grapevine, where he is the sustaining and supporting vine, and we are the branches that bear fruit. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." He says that apart from him, we can't do anything of eternal significance in the kingdom. We can't do anything that will last. We have to stay connected to Jesus, the head of the church, because the church is at its best when we all stay connected to the head. The second key to growing in Christ out of this passage is that the church is at its best when each person fulfills their unique role. Verse 16 says, when each part is working properly. For our bodies to function at peak capacity, all of our different systems have to be functioning correctly. When one part of your body isn't working properly, all the rest of the body suffers. We know this when we're in pain. It's tough to do anything when one part of the body is hurting. It distracts and it makes everything else harder to do, even in the healthy parts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul makes this same analogy again. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Every part of the body has a different role and a specific purpose." Now, whether you play it or not, fantasy football is a pretty big thing this time of year. I know some of you are thinking, oh man, here he goes. But bear with me. If you're not familiar, the idea is that you pick the best player that you can in each position, and then you compete against other people. You create a fantasy team of players. And these days, there's fantasy sports for like almost anything. I've seen fantasy PGA golf this year. I've seen fantasy NASCAR. Woohoo! It seems like there's fantasy sports for anything and everything. But what if God had a fantasy church league? Who do you think he would pick to be on his team? I mean, you think, oh, I mean, he'd probably pick an awesome music team like the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and a lead pastor like Tim Keller or Matt Chandler, right? He'd pick life group leaders that had significant portions of the Bible memorized. And his guest experience team would be so welcoming that visitors would always come back. And that's how we think God works. But when the reality is, he often doesn't pick the most gifted, most talented people to serve in ministry. In fact, he often picks the guy who's under the radar. In fantasy football, we call it the sleeper, the one no one is looking for. He picked a tax collector and a bunch of uneducated fishermen to be on his team while he was on the earth. He picked a group of people to worship him together, to follow him together, to grow in faith and love together. And he picked you to be part of it. You are a part of God's team. And so your next question should be, what position do I get to play? Is it running back, Lord? Maybe I'm a wide receiver. Or how about quarterback, Lord? Sorry, Browns fans, I just couldn't resist. Some of you who struggle with humility want to know if you're the quarterback. Let me tell you, Jesus is the quarterback, and trust me, that's better for all of us. But God has a position specifically for you. When he brings you on the team, he knows that there is a role that you would be great at. How can he be so sure that you're going to be good at it? Because he empowers you with his own spirit to accomplish the role he's called you to fulfill. And at a church of this size, of Grace McCain, you may be thinking, as you look around on Sunday, and you say to yourself, you know, man, everything seems to be going smoothly. They must not need my help. You may think at Grace Online, oh man, they've got a chat host, we're good. But the reality is that we're only fielding half a team sometimes, guys. When everyone isn't engaged in using their gifts in some way, the whole body suffers. And so thanks to those of you who are serving. Thank you for understanding that being a fully devoted follower of Christ means we can't just sit and receive. That in serving, we get closer to God and to each other as we lay down our consumer mentality and get in the game. I think about someone like Rob, who helps run the lyrics and videos during services at Grace McCain. Now, Rob is one of the most unassuming guys you could ever meet. He's a down-to-earth guy, and he has his struggles, but he's good at what he does, even though he would tell you it's no big deal. And when he's doing his job right, most people don't even know he's there. I had a conversation with Rob one time, and he tried to downplay his role on the team. And I sat him down, and I explained to him, I said, man, what you do is so important. It's not minimal. I told him that he's just as much a part of the team as the worship leader, and that what he does gives people the opportunity every week to get closer to God, to make a connection with the Lord, and maybe to make a decision to follow God for the first time. And here's the thing. He's gotten so good in the position God has called him to as a volunteer in serving that a few weeks ago, when one of our paid staff, our central tech lead, subbed in for him, man, I noticed the difference. And the transitions weren't as crisp as with Rob. Some wrong slides went up here and there. And there wasn't as strong of a connection between the screen and the band that week. And you know what? I think that's awesome because our tech lead's job isn't to do every part of ministry. It's to equip people like Rob in the worship center and Craig and Gary and Bob in the commons to serve in their gifting. That's how I know our central tech lead, Dustin, and our site-specific tech lead, Tim, are doing great because they empower people to serve on their team. And while Rob is great, our tech team in both rooms needs more people who are willing to learn and who might have that gift to serve and grow and get closer to Jesus through the God-given role that he has for them. I mean, there are things that should be happening that aren't because not everyone is playing the position God has for them. I'll give you one quick example. Right now in Grace McCain Kids Ministry, we would love to dream and to do a lot more than we're doing right now. We'd love to be able to come alongside special need kids and offer content and kids min just for them. But right now, we don't even have a full complement of kids leaders and volunteers to keep every Sunday going at full strength, let alone specialized volunteers to help with that sort of need, even though the need is great. And until the people here at Grace McCain who are gifted there step up and jump into ministry, until we're fielding a full team, we have to put an amazing dream like that on hold for now. So how do you know what role God wants you to fulfill? What you need to do is to identify your spiritual gifts and your shape. Shape is a self-assessment tool that we offer to every person who goes through our core class. It gives you a snapshot of what your top three or four spiritual gifts could be, and then that can help direct you to a ministry that's right for you. If that's something you feel like you need, then sign up for CORE. You'll learn a lot about your gifts and finding your personal ministry. It starts in just a few weeks. We have a Sunday morning core class and a Wednesday night core class as well on the 23rd and the 26th of this month. They go for 8 weeks. The second thing you can do is to talk to one of the ministry leaders or talk to someone from my site pastor team. Talk to Gary or talk to Dick Page in the commons. Or you can talk to the connections team, someone at the Next Steps desk. They'd love to have a conversation with you about what you're passionate about and help find you a ministry connection that will light you up. Now, the third way you can go about it, and this is going to sound funny, but I'm serious, is trial and error. Sometimes we think, man, I'd be a great foot, but we're actually better as a hand. And so don't be discouraged if you try a ministry and realize it isn't a good fit. Seek out a different place to serve and don't quit until you find the right place. You know, I served as the creative arts pastor here for 12 years, and part of my role was auditioning people for our music teams. Some of those auditions were great, and sometimes when we got to the end, I knew we needed to have a hard conversation, and those were never fun. And I remember one person coming in and auditioning for vocals, and there were enough issues there that I could tell that they just weren't quite ready. They weren't at the place yet where they were ready to serve on the music team. They sang off pitch and they couldn't harmonize at all. Just some basic things that were necessary to serve in that role, then they weren't there. It would have been like putting a person who doesn't like babies in our nursery, not a good fit. And so we talked and I gave them a few things to work on if they wanted to try to audition again in the future. But the conversation didn't stop there. We talked about if there were other things that they were passionate about. And it turned out they were really passionate about youth. And so I connected them with our youth ministry. And they ended up becoming some of our most faithful volunteers for many years at that ministry. They found a place that really stirred up their heart spiritually and was a huge need for the body because they didn't give up. And we need you to keep looking until you find your ministry fit. Because when you do, you'll find more fulfillment. and the body gets healthier because you're using your gifts. Now, I know some of you have checked out on me this morning. I know, because we're talking about this and you're already thinking, listen, I'm not interested in the word you're preaching today, Pastor, because I'm too busy or I'm too new or I've been here a long time. I've earned a vacation. Or, hey, I feel completely inadequate. And guys, I want to ask you to pray and ask God to speak to you about whether or not he wants you to use your gifts for his glory, for the health of his church. My point today is that as you detach from serving, as you slip into a consumer mindset, that your relationship with God will suffer and everyone around you misses out because you're not using your gifts. And listen, we prioritize what we find to be the most important. We do. We talk a good game about different schedules, but I have never not been able to squeeze in what was really important to me. Somehow it finds its way into my schedule, the things that are the most important. In fact, what we force into our schedule or what we tolerate being forced into our schedule determines what is actually important to us, more than what we say is important to us. So if your relationship with God is important to you, you'll make time for it. You'll prioritize building up the body of God through serving. But Pastor, my job runs me ragged. I'm never home with my family. I work all kinds of crazy hours. I don't get 30 minutes to myself, let alone a Sabbath. Well, maybe it's time for you to find a new job. You say, whoa, that's harsh. But if your work is keeping you from a healthy rhythm, if it's keeping you from being there for your family, if it's keeping you from stepping into your gifting in the way that God has called you to, maybe it's time to start looking for a job that will. Pastor, we've got young kids. You know what that's like. And they've got all these activities and that activity and this activity. I don't sleep anymore. And I'm a taxi service. Man, I hate to hammer home what Derek said last week. But maybe it's time to stop just talking about taking them out of those activities and actually do it. Maybe you take the next flyer that comes home in the school folder or for soccer or gymnastics or whatever, and you toss it straight into the recycling bin. Because if you live for your kids, listen, if you live for your kids and their schedule, all you end up doing is teaching them that they are ultimate instead of God. Living for your kids is a great way to raise dysfunctional kids. So maybe if you're a single mom, you serve on Sunday when the kids are in kids ministry. Or you talk to another mom and you offer to watch her kids one night while she serves somewhere in the church, and then she watches your kids one night while you do. Get creative, but don't let life stop you from finding your fit and being used by God. There is nothing like knowing that God used you to make a difference in someone's life, spiritually, eternally. Don't pass that up and say, later, when the job isn't so crazy, later, when the kids are older, and you're missing out on a deeper fellowship with the Lord. Now, there are others of you who are thinking, Brian, that's all well and good, but I feel called to serve outside the church, not inside. Here's the thing. We believe that every follower of Christ is called to serve others inside and outside the church. And God gives us the capacity for both. We believe that. At Grace, we talk about the acronym LIVE, L-I-V-E. The I in that means invest in others. It means loving and serving people who don't know Christ outside of the church walls. Every Christian needs to do that. Now, the V stands for volunteer your time. It means serving on a ministry team inside the church, helping build up the body of Christ. Every fully devoted follower of Jesus needs to have both of those in place in their life. It doesn't need to be a 50-50 even split, but they both need to be there. And so for some of you, your calling outside the church might be way more time consuming than your volunteer role inside the church, or vice versa. That's fine. The important part is that you are letting God lead you in doing both. Sometimes the way you serve the church is by taking others with you to serve outside the walls. You volunteer within the church to help others in the church find their own personal invest in the community. And in this way, you can help the church become more outward focused. But don't use your calling outside the church as an excuse not to fulfill your role inside it. We were created for both, not one or the other. And so the church is at its best when each person stays connected to the head and when each person fulfills their unique role. Finally, the church is at its best when each person works properly. Remember verse 16, when each part is working properly, it said. What does it mean for each part to work properly? It might be easier to picture what it looks like when a part of the body isn't working properly. Have you ever twisted your ankle? Now, if your foot's injured, does it suddenly stop being a foot? Is it now not the right part of the body? No, of course not. But when it isn't working properly, the body suffers and it's hard to function. In the same way, it's possible for you to be in the right ministry and not be working properly. We can be in the right position for our spiritual gift, but lack the spiritual maturity to do our best in that role. Are you equipping yourself spiritually so that you can best fulfill your role? Are you engaging in any behavior or habit that is keeping you from growing in maturity and working properly in the body of Christ? Much like fulfilling your role as a husband or a wife or as a parent, you're never going to feel completely ready. If we waited until we were completely ready, no one would ever get married or have children. But for most of us, once we recognize the significance of our role in those relationships, we strive to be the best spouse or the best parent we can be. Now, the same is true in our ministry. We want to be at our best personally so the church can be at its best corporately. And at the end of Colossians, Paul sends a specific message to a man named Archippus. Colossians 4:17 reads, "And say this to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." We can take out Archippus and we can put our own name in there. In fact, I want to do that right now. I want you to read this with me. It's going to be on the screen, but instead say your own name in the blank. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Brian, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Bill, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. Jennifer, find that role that you are supposed to fulfill and do it with all of your heart. Steve, fulfill your personal ministry. The body of Christ is depending on you. We won't be at our best as a church unless everyone is finding and fulfilling their personal ministry. Notice God doesn't call it Archippus to fulfill the role of just coming to church and consuming. God doesn't call him to work towards a mediocre life in the ministry, but to fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. This fulfillment is one of greatness. We are so blessed that God has called us to something so much more than average. One of our core values is all in. God created us with unique skills to do ministry. We strongly believe that everyone at Grace is here for a reason. The church doesn't function well unless we're all involved. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Remember our big idea today. The church is at its best when each person fulfills their personal ministry. You know, as we close today, I want to give you the opportunity to take a next step in this area. And so for those of you who are in the comments today, right after the service, in just a moment, we're going to ask you to head to the gym and explore signing up for a ministry and finding your place in the body of Christ. So whether that's kids ministry or youth, music, serving on Janet's team, tech, our guest experience team, or Grace Online, you're going to be able to shadow a ministry, meaning that you can sign up for a specific date and time to come along with and check out a ministry in the next 2 weeks. And if you're watching on Grace Online today, then I want to encourage you to consider serving on our care team. That's the team of people who hosts our chat, prays with people, and helps them get connected. We're looking for more people from all over to join our team and help create community online. If you'd like to find out more, you can do that by clicking on the Connect tab in the bottom right corner of the screen, putting down your name and email, and mentioning that you're interested in serving. If you're already serving, I want to thank you. You are helping us grow stronger in our faith in Christ. Since you've already found your ministry, I want to challenge you to equip yourself with whatever you need to serve at your best. Are you finding your chair, your time to connect with God? I mean, you might need to prioritize your daily time with the Lord so that you're serving from a place of spiritual vitality and not just going through the motions. Take Paul's advice to Timothy. He says, fan into flame the gift you've been given. You know, another thing you could do is ask your ministry leader for some coaching on how you can be more effective in your role. Ask them, what are the things you could work on to help yourself thrive as you're used by God? And lastly, I encourage you to look at the Learn to Lead page under Next Steps on whoisgrace.com. There's a biblical studies class starting in November that will be focusing on faith, grace, and work, and will be a great complement to the James series that we're going through. We want the church to be at its best, because when we're at our best, God is glorified and people's lives changed. Yours, mine, and the people we care about the most. Let's pray. God, thank you that you call us and invite us into ministry with you, that we get the opportunity to participate in the body of Christ. Would you stir up in us that desire? Would you help us to lay down the things that distract us and keep us too busy or too scared to step into the calling that we've received? And may we trust you that you will equip those who call. God, help us to all participate in a way, because when we share our gifts, the body becomes healthy. And when we don't, the body isn't functioning at 100%. I pray that at Grace McCain and at Grace Online, the body would be functioning fully healthy and it would give you glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.